Bibles, the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 8. And we're going to look at a verse here together tonight. And I just want to preach to you a thought that's been upon my heart today that I have not been able to get away from. And here in these last handful of Wednesdays, the Lord is just, I believe, He's always speaking specifically to us. And His Word, He's always, I was told a long time ago, and I've always kept this tucked in my heart, said God is always speaking, it's just a matter if we are always listening. And, there's been some very, I believe, some direct things that God's been saying in regards to situations and things of that nature, and that's what He does through His Word. And so we're going to take a look tonight, just trusting the Lord to help us this evening. And if you will stand with us, the book of 1 Kings chapter number 8, and we are going to read verse 56, this one verse. And several weeks back, the Lord had moved in a particular service, and folks were in the altars and receiving of the Lord, and exhorted just a little bit, and I shared this particular verse. It's probably been a month and a half, almost 2 months ago, I had shared this verse, but we're going to look at this tonight in this text, and just going to preach if you will. It's a very simple thought, but I believe something that could help us tonight. I believe encourage us tonight. Amen. But 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56, if you're there with me, won't you say amen? The Bible says, blessed be the Lord, amen, that hath given rest unto His people Israel. And I want you to catch this next segment. According to all that He promised, there hath not one, or hath not failed one word of all His good promise, which He promised by the hand of Moses, His servant. Listen to this segment again. According to all, somebody shout, all that He promised. Amen. It's His word. He's bound to it. All that He promised, there hath not failed one word, not one word of all His good promise, which He promised by the hand of Moses, His servant. Tonight, if I can, just a few moments, I just want to preach on a word, and that word that speaks, I believe, volumes, and that word is certainly. Certainly. And tonight, there are some certainties in our lives, but I believe God wants to remind us there are some certainties that He provides. Amen. Some certainties. Would you help us to pray? Father, once again, we thank You for Your word. I pray Your anointing upon every ear that would hear, every heart to receive. I pray You challenge us, encourage us, deal with us by Your word, and let us hide it in Your heart. As Your word has declared, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against You. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And Lord, tonight I pray, let that word be concreted, burned into our hearts, our minds. Keep us, we do pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated this evening. Certainly, the definition here is a simple definition, but it simply means this: without a doubt or no question at all. Certainly. We are aware that there are certain things that will certainly happen in all of our lives. Today, we have, I'm sure in various capacities, we have come against some of the certainties. And when I say come against, I'm meaning that there are some certainties that we find ourselves, we're trusting the Lord through it, we're believing Him to strengthen us. us, because some certain leaves are not necessarily pleasant. Some certain leaves are tough. Some certain leaves, it's hard to put our mind around it. Some certain leaves, they come not necessarily every day, but sometimes in seasons of our lives, sometimes in various moments, but there are certain leaves around us. In this day in which we live, certainly we know, as we've already made mention tonight, the day in which we live is an evil day. It is a wicked day. Certainly things, just like earlier this evening, we scratch our heads and we say, Lord, why? Why are there certain tragedies? Why are there certain sufferings? Why are there certain things that break our hearts? Things that are hard for us to fathom or to grasp. I want you to know tonight that when I say why, I say that in the sincerest form. This is not a fist-shaking why at heaven, an accusational statement at heaven, because God knows that you and I, we have no power in ourselves to change many things. Many things, Brother TJ, we're resting and we're trusting simply God's hand, God's provision, God's purpose, and God's leading. When we are up against certain things and the certainties that might cause us to wonder, to have question, to try to understand, and these are very real feelings, these are very real things that happen in our lives. This morning, certainly it is not an easy thing at the bedside of a loved one. Though there is great joy ahead of them, though eternity with Christ awaits them, on this side of heaven, it certainly is hard to watch a wife mourn her husband. It is certainly something when you're there and you watch life's last breaths come and you are reminded again that death is a certainty, that the Word of God tells us these things. Oh, but there as this morning, even and in various capacities, though there are some tears of sorrow, though there is hearts that are broken, we look at those things, and all I know is about the time as Bob's breaths were becoming more shallow. What I do know is that certainly I felt the comforter, a man who stepped in that room. All of a sudden, Sister Gwen, I felt the certainty of the Spirit. Hallelujah. All of us could feel the certainty of the Spirit of God as he stepped in the room. Brother Chad, it was not an unfamiliar feeling, but it was the glory of God that come, who says unto us, certainly I have defeated death, certainly I have defeated hell, certainly I have defeated the grave. Oh, and in that moment, all that could be said is, we thank you, Jesus. You're good, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Great are the promises of God. Oh, and can I tell you tonight that certainly in our lives and in these moments that we find ourselves up against, some of them individual, some of them generally in humanity that we find ourselves, it's a part of the living experience. It's a part of our experience, our walk with God, certain things. I'm glad that we have the certainty of his word tonight. The word of God said that, first of all, I want you to know is that he is going to do according to everything he has promised. He said, everything every word, everything. And he goes on to say, there's not one word that has failed. There's not one word that has fallen short. There's not one situation where God said that he couldn't. I want to remind the church tonight, in your uncertainty, in the things you're up against, I want you to be reminded that when we are uncertain, we serve a God who is certain, who is in control, who is able, who is our help, who is our provider, who is our healer, who is our redeemer. I want you to know, as the old song said, who he is will never change. Somebody shout amen. It'll never change. Oh, without a doubt, without a question, this doesn't seem so far from where we are today. So much that changes. So many questions. There are sleepless nights over the unknown. There is exhaustion in our bodies, in our minds, of us trying to make it happen, of us trying to find ground to stand upon, to say and to know that without a doubt I'm going to make it through this. But you understand that there are some things you've never ever been asked or required to carry. There are certain things, Brother Marvin, you've never been asked by God that you have to provide an answer for. There are certain things tonight, Sister Rice, that we don't have to understand, but we learn to lean. We have learned to trust in God. We have learned that his ways are better. We have learned what David said in the Psalms when he said, as for the Lord, his ways are perfect. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what do we do? What do we do with these uncertainties and the certainties that we're faced with? How do we cope with some of the confusion around us? How do we deal with some of these things? Let me just say this. I want to remind you three things tonight very quickly. I want you to know that certainly you are seen right where you are. You are seen. You see, here is the thing. We often will begin to lose the victory because we do not feel him. We often lose the victory because seemingly maybe it feels that we can't touch him or that he's not touching us. I talked with a friend earlier in the week and he made the statement. He said, man, he said, I don't know if I've backslid, if I've disappointed God, but he's not touching me. And he said, I'm having a hard time touching him. And this welled up inside of me, this first point. And I said, brother, I want you to know, even if you feel like you can't touch him, and if you feel like he hasn't touched you, I want you to know one thing about it. You're not out of his eyesight. He sees you. You are seen. He knows exactly where you are. Like one preacher said, he still knows your address. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows how many you left in the hairbrush. He is aware tonight, and he sees you where you are. We oftentimes we get disappointed and we feel like things are falling apart because we're not feeling certain emotions or that certain things are not happening. But I want to remind the church that certainly one of the most powerful things is that God still sees us. How many times have we come to a place in our lives? Have you ever dealt with someone? Maybe your child, maybe a certain situation. We've worked with children for a long time in ministry, in youth pastoring, in Christian education, all of these things. And here's one thing that I had learned, Brother Dax, in working with children, is that there are children, even if it is bad behavior and it is something they're going to get in trouble for, if they are acknowledged, if they are seen, if they are paid attention to, they will even do so if it's bad behavior. Do you know why? Because inside of us there is a desire to be seen. There is a desire to know, oh, do I matter? Are you seeing what's going on? I want you to understand tonight, the Word of God tells us of a particular time in Scripture where the disciples, they were at a point of thinking that it was all going to be over. The storm was raging. The ship was reeling. Water in that ship. They thought they were going under. The Bible said they were in the ship and he was on the land. I want you to hear that. They were out in the water, but he was alone on the land. And I love this. Brother Gerard, I've often just held on to the first part of this verse. And it said, and he saw them. Come on, somebody. It said, and he saw them. Brother Jerry, while they was on that sinking ship, while they were trying to make it, they were over there and he was over there. But one thing that didn't change, it was the fourth watch of the night, but God didn't need a spotlight. He didn't need binoculars. He didn't need night vision. But the Bible said he saw them toiling in their rowing. It's certain that God sees you. The word of the Lord, we often quote this when we want somebody to know that, boy, God's got his eye on you and he's going to judge you. We like to quote it when we're talking about it like that, but this is what the Bible says, Brother Gary, the eyes of the Lord are in every place. We like to quote that scripture, make our kids, come on, make our kids scared to death. I heard a little boy one time, he was trying to sing that Christmas song, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, and some of you calm down. I know some of you, your spiritual hairs just stood up because I said the S-S-C word, they had a little boy and they was teaching that song, but he couldn't get past the first little phrases. And Sister Wanda, he'd go around singing. He never could sing the rest of the line, but he'd go around singing, you better watch out. You better watch out. You better watch out. You better watch out. And sometimes in the church, when we talk about the eyes of the Lord in every place, we're secretly looking at other people self-righteously. You better watch out. You better watch out. You better watch out. Come on. Some of you ain't got past that point. Some of you ain't got past that verse. Some of you, you're just hoping God just zaps somebody. Oh, but we don't want done that way. That's another message. But I'm going to tell you, when I tell you tonight, the eyes of the Lord are in every place. Yes, he sees what's done in darkness. Yes, he knows what's done behind closed doors. Yes, he's aware of what's going on in your heart. But I'm encouraged as well. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. The eyes of the Lord are in my places of suffering. The eyes of the Lord in the places of my isolation. The eyes of the Lord in the places of my prayer closet. The eyes of the Lord in the places when I have a broken heart. The eyes of the Lord are upon my lost loved ones. The eyes of the Lord are upon our children. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. Hell can't stop it. The devil can't confine him. Your problem's not too big. God certainly sees. He sees where you are. Hallelujah. He sees where you are. Oh, I want you to understand that he certainly has seen you. He knows. He is aware. And you're not far removed from his presence. That's why I know it sounds cliche, but we will say things like, he is as close as the mention of his name. I want to remind somebody tonight, in the places of uncertainty, in the places of certain suffering, in the places of certain broken hearts, in the places, Brother Wade, of certain prayers we're praying, though it sometimes, and I get it because pastor's been there, and I will be there again because I'm a human, but there's times that I feel like he's a million miles away. I'm on the ship, and he's on the shore. But I am reminded that his eyes are upon us. The word of the Lord says it like this, that if his eye is on the very sparrow, said his eyes are upon you because how much more precious, more valuable, more important are you? So can I tell you, when hell would like for you to believe that your particular certainty, that your particular problem is bigger and that heaven has never dealt with it and God's never seen anything like it, you need to rebuke the devil. You need to tell that liar exactly where he can go and say, there ain't nothing new that God hasn't seen. He sees me. He knows me. He knows the in and out. And this is what I love. God not only sees us right where we are, which Brother Dax, I'm thankful for, but what I'm most excited about is he sees where I'm headed. He sees what's ahead of me. He sees and knows what's going on there. Oh, can I tell you, he don't only see me today, and he saw me in my yesterday, but all the way back then. I'll just tell you like this, from the day that I took my first breath in this earth, he saw my beginning, and he saw my end, Sister June, and he's seen every place along the way, every place. Do not listen to the lie of the enemy that you are not seen. Certainly you are seen. Certainly he will show you. He will show you the goodness of his word. He will show you that he is faithful. He will prove you. As a matter of fact, the word of God even says this. He says, he issues a challenge to all of us. He says, prove me. Prove me. That's what he said in the realm of the tithe and the offering. He said, prove me and see if I wouldn't open unto you the windows of heaven, that I'd give you good things. I'd give it to you pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I want you to understand that that proving is not just in regards to a financial implication, because here's what I want you to understand, Brother Drew, that promise in tied to the financial principle, it is a promise nonetheless. And so every word, remember our text, he's not one word has failed. And so therefore, if he says, if I'm God enough, if you're big enough to believe me in the principles of your finance, then that lets me know that I can prove him on my worst day. I can prove him in my pain. I can prove him in the uncertainty. I can prove that he will show himself faithful in the middle of that situation, in the middle of that question. We serve a God who will certainly show himself mighty. The word of God said this. He said, I want you to be aware of something very certain. He said, my ear is not too heavy that I can't hear you. And he said, my arm is not too short that I can't reach and save. Come on here. God will go out of his way to show you. Amen. To show you that certainly his promises are real. He'll show you that his mercies are new. He'll show you that his loving kindness is greater than life. He'll show you that you are the apple of his eye. He will show you that he will work all things according to the good. He will show you, amen, that he is faithful and enduring. And that, as David said, even when I was young, I saw it. And he said, even now that I'm old, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Why? Because God will always show you. He'll show you that he is certain to work on your behalf. To work. Have you ever been through a particular situation and in that moment you couldn't see what God sees? You didn't understand what he already knows. But as they use the old term, hindsight's 20/20. And you come through the other side of that thing and you look back and you realize, and sometimes that is where God shows you and reveals. That's where the curtain is pulled back and you say, the whole time he was working, the whole time he was doing it, the whole time he was precise, Sister Faye, the whole time he didn't leave one thing left undone. Is there anybody besides this preacher that you look back and you are amazed at the intricate details that God God dots every I and he crosses every T. Are you glad tonight that in every turn, oh, listen, I've been working on a message, and that message is going to be divinity in degrees. We serve a God. Oh, did you know if you're on a sailboat and you're off just a few degrees on that compass, you'll end up on the other side of the world. But God's a God who works in degrees, in the small things, in the quiet moments, in the little things. Oh, a big God who knows a little details, because he will certainly show you. He'll show you. And there's been times, a lot of times, like me, I'm sure that you have, I've looked back and seen and said, oh my, he was showing me, he was working. I didn't see it at the moment, Tobin. I didn't know it then. As a matter of fact, let's just be honest, sometimes in the process of it, you think God's picking on you. In the process of it, you think God's being a bully. In the process of it, you're thinking, well, I don't know if my best interest is on his heart, but he'll show you. Somebody shout, he'll show me. He'll show me. The last thing I want you to know, Brother Danny, Sister Carolyn, if you'll come, his presence certainly is sure. You are seen, he will show you, but there is certainty that his presence is working, that it is near. I want you to understand, this is one of the promises that has been given unto us. Jesus speaking, he said, lo, I will go with you, even until the ends of the earth. Jesus, in that physical body, we do not look up and see Jesus in a physical body going with us. But he said, it's expedient that I might go, so that, and if I can paraphrase, so that that comforter might come. And that comforter, he's going to lead you into all truth. He's going to be with you, and he's going to be in you. Once you understand, there's nothing that's more powerful, more precious, more valuable, amen, than the Spirit of God abiding and residing inside of us. That is why we must be filled with his Spirit. That's why we must endeavor to walk in the Spirit, his presence that abides. I want to just share with you just a few details. And you probably, I know there's a lot of Bible scholars here in the church, and so you probably already know this, but this hillbilly just learns things a little bit later. But I want you to understand, in the wilderness, did you take note, did you recognize that the presence of God was always in the center of the camp? They would set up that tabernacle, they'd put that ark in that tabernacle in the holy place, and Brother Gary, all those 12 tribes, they would put their tents all around on the outskirts, the edges, and it was symbolic and it was a powerful representation that God's presence abided right in the middle of their lives, right in the middle of that camp, right in the middle of everything that was going on. But when they come out of the wilderness and going into the promised land that was before them, or that they were going into the promised land, if you might remember, when Joshua called everybody together to sanctify themselves, get themselves ready, they were going to cross that Jordan. And the Bible says that the priests had went out in there and that they bear that ark. But this time, that ark was not in the middle of the camp, but it was before them. Same presence, just a different place, a different location, a different way in how he was working. In the wilderness, right in the middle of the camp, crossing over Jordan, he went before them. When they come up to one of their greatest adversaries, if you will, and one of the first victories that had to be won, when they got into that promised land, they were going to have to deal with Jericho. This fortified city, whose walls bragged of the fact that they were impregnable. They would have chariot races on top of the walls of Jericho because they were so wide, so thick, that they would do it for sport and watch the races. Can you imagine as the Israelites show up out there and those in the city of Jericho, what they must have thought watching these folks march around their wall? But I want you to notice in the wilderness, the ark was in the middle. Going into the promised land, it was before them. And in Jericho, it was behind them. Come on here. Same ark, same Spirit of God, His presence. But it is a reminder of the fact. Do you know what David said in the psalm? He said, "You have set yourself before me and behind me." He said, "If I took the wings of the morning and I flew up into heaven," he said, "like on wings of eagles," he said, "you'd be there." And he said, "If I made my bed down in hell," he said, "you'd be there too." Job said this. He said, "I go before and I look behind." He said, "On the right hand, on the left." Oh, I want you to understand His presence. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere at all times. He is certainly working and moving and speaking and leading in every situation. Can I tell someone tonight? Because God changes positions, and He might be changing how His presence is working in your particular situation, do not get nervous. It doesn't mean that God lost His power. It simply means He's moving in a different way. It doesn't mean that He isn't working. You can be certain that seasons will change, but His presence will always remain. Truth is, in this house, as we look around from the pulpit to the back pew, all of us, we are not the same people. We're not in the same places and positions, spiritually speaking, that we were a year ago. For some, 3 months ago, 6 months ago, a month ago, there's changes. There's things that happen. There's things, like I said, certainly there are things that we will encounter. And there is uncertainty. But tonight, we're preaching about a God who, without a doubt, no question, He sees you, He will show you He's working, and He will do so because certainly His presence will always abide. In seasons of my life, I can assure you, I've looked around, Sister Kelly, and I thought, "God, you're not doing this the way that you used to do certain things." And He reminds me, He says, "Because your life is not going in the way that it used to go. I've got other things that I'm doing. I've got ways that I'm working." That's why the Word of God said, "His ways, they're higher than ours. His thoughts are deeper than ours." He's doing things, whether it's right in the middle of your life, whether it's in front of you, or whether He's behind you, it's the same Spirit. But He is changing directions based upon what is needed right now, certainly in your life and mine. Tonight, I'm glad, in a world with so much uncertainty, I've got some certainties. Because of Christ. Because of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Can we just lift our hands together all over this house? And would you right now just begin to thank Him? Would somebody just begin with your words and from the bottom of your heart? Won't you just tell Him, "Lord, I'm thankful. I'm thankful You're certain. I'm thankful You are sure. I'm thankful You are steadfast. I'm thankful You are able. I'm thankful You see me. I'm thankful You will show me. I'm thankful, Lord, Your presence is with me. It's working. Lord, it might look differently than it did last month. It might look different than it did last year. But, Lord, You're working. You're certain." And tonight, can I tell you that no matter what your certainties are or what your uncertainties are, that you can trust God, that you can rest in Him. Tonight, this is not a fancy altar call, but I'm simply going to ask if tonight you'd say, "I want the certainties of the Lord at work in my life. Holy Ghost, You're reminding me. Lord, you're speaking to me tonight. Before we leave, why don't you come? Can we find ourselves a place in these altars? Would you come tonight and say, Lord, oh, I'm looking unto you tonight, Jesus. I'm trusting you. Lord, you beset yourself before me and behind me. You're working. Oh, you're right in the middle of my life. Lord, tonight, maybe you're before us. Maybe you're behind us, but your presence is near. Oh, tonight, Lord, remind a heart that you see them. Lord, somebody who maybe feels like they are outside of the vision of heaven. They are outside of your eyesight. Oh, but remind somebody tonight, you see them right where they are. You see them right where they are, right in the middle. Lord, somebody tonight who needs to know certainly you're working, you'll show them, you'll reveal to them. Lord, I believe there's some folks that are going to look back and see and recognize at this time, this very moment, this very season of life, you were working.